I had a big decision to make last Saturday. Jill and I, we were down at Castle Well in Newcastle, and we were at the Slieve Donard Resort and Spa. I'm sure you've maybe been at it. A grand place. But I was walking along this corridor, and there was two big glass windows on either side of me. And to my left here, there was this big gymnasium. Oh, and all the gym equipment, the exercise machines, running machines, enough of weights that would have killed a working horse. And here you had one or two craters, and the sweat was pouring from them. You knew their bodies were aching, the muscles were burning, but they were seeking to better themselves. They were seeking to strengthen themselves. They were really giving it their all. Well, then, to my right, and this through this other big window here, there's a lovely swimming pool and a jacuzzi that looked out over the Mourne Mountains and a sauna that would have looked out over next Torella Beach, and you had steam rooms and you had all these various sorts of spa treatments where it was all just relaxation and just lie and do nothing. And so I had a decision to make. Am I going to Gannon? Am I going to seek to strengthen myself and better myself? Or am I going to go in somewhere and just lie like a wheel and relax? Well, I'm not going to tell you what the decision was, but I have to say the view of the moorings was nice. But you know, friends, that brought a real challenge to my heart as a Christian and as Christians. Now, how often in our Christian lives do we take that approach of we'll just lie and just relax, try to take things as easy as possible, try and put in as little effort as possible in our journey between here and heaven? Or do we try to be like those people in the gym where we try to strengthen ourselves and our faith? We try to build ourselves up. We try to get to know God more. We spend time in the Word and read that we may be better equipped as soldiers for Jesus Christ. And that was a real challenge to my heart. Daniel certainly wasn't one for taking the easy option. And yet with all, you know, Daniel's such a hero. He's such an inspiration to so many of us. But yet, just like you and I, Daniel had many highs and many lows in his life. And so I want to speak to you for a short time this morning under the heading of Living with Lions, or Living with the Lions of Life. Daniel's life was tough at times. I mean, Daniel chapter 1 gives us a bit of a background of it. As a young man, he was taken captive, along with many of his countrymen, and they were exiled to Babylon. They were exiled to enemy territory. And it says something very interesting in Daniel chapter 1. It says that the Lord delivered Daniel's king, the king of Judah, into the enemy's hand. It was the Lord who delivered him. So it would have been very easy for Daniel to have, in many ways, turned his back on God. Says, "Well, you allowed this to happen to me. I'm just going to go my own way." Daniel could have given up on the Lord. I wonder, is there somebody here this morning and you have given up on God? I wonder, is there somebody here this morning and you have perhaps turned your back on God? Maybe your life hasn't worked out or isn't working out in the way that you would have planned. Perhaps it's not going in that direction that you would like, and you've given up on him. I trust you'll listen for these few moments and be encouraged, because God had a plan for Daniel. We're told there's some lovely things in that chapter 1 about Daniel, how God, although he had allowed Daniel to be taken to this foreign land, it says that he caused an official to show favor in Daniel. That was a big thing. It says that Daniel and his three friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, you'll know them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, God gave them great knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning. And Daniel could understand visions and interpret dreams. It also said that the king, this is wonderful. He says that he found none equal. Nobody was equal to these four men. In every matter of wisdom and learning and understanding, he found them 10 times better than all the other magicians, all the other enchanters in his whole kingdom. Yet the Lord allowed them to go to this place. But yet you see how the Lord really blessed them. He really anointed them for the task that lay ahead. These men could easily have thought, we're in enemy land, we'll go and we'll just wreak havoc, cause all sorts of trouble. No. And it really encouraged my heart, friends, that what did they do? They just settled into where God had placed them. Wasn't maybe the most desirable place. They settled down and they sought to please the Lord in that. And because they honored God, God honored them. And that was a real challenge. Sometimes in our work, sometimes in our jobs, we can get really fed up. Sometimes you just think, I'm scunnered. I would just love a change. And yet and with all, then God reminds us, I have you here. I have you there for a purpose. And you may find it tough at times, but I'll equip you for it. And I'll use you. That's a wonderful challenge and a wonderful encouragement to my heart. But you know, Daniel had a wonderful testimony. That brings us to chapter 6. We read about it. He was one of the three administrators over all these people. Daniel really had excelled himself. He really had, and he had worked himself up. And now, even he was one of those three administrators, we're told that King Darius planned to set him over the whole kingdom. That's a major thing. But then we can almost begin to see something here that what Timothy talks about in 2 Timothy 3 and 12. That verse that really hits hard. He says that everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. And here Daniel was beginning to, they were beginning to press in on him. They were out to trap him. They were out to get him. But it's wonderful because as we read about Daniel here, they could find nothing. As he set about his daily task, there wasn't a thing they could find. There was no corruption in him. And bear in mind here, Daniel, he wasn't sinless. Daniel wasn't a sinless being. He was like you and he was like me. But yet and withal, he was so diligent. He was so trustworthy. There was none of these and none of his affairs that they could trip him up on. But yet they knew the only thing they could get him on was his God, was his allegiance to his God. You know, that brought a real challenge to my heart. You know, as I look at my own life, how easy it would be for people as they see me in everyday things to point the finger and say, oh, well, get him at this. Look what he done here. Look what he done there. And it might not be easy, so easy for people in our Christian walk to find something. It'd be very easy. We're just like the crowd. Sometimes there's maybe little difference in our behavior and our conversation than that of the world. That's a challenge, folks. That's a real challenge that Daniel has left before us this morning. But so the group, they came to the king and they set a trap for him. They really set him up. Verse 7, what was the trap? They went to him and they said, well, they told lies for a start because they said, we have all agreed. Daniel didn't agree to this. But they said, we've all agreed that you should issue an edict that anybody who prays to any god or man during the next 30 days, except to you, O king, shall be thrown into the den of lions. This is tough for Daniel. This is tough. The king went ahead, spur of the moment, you'd have thought. It was issued. It couldn't be repealed. This law was set. This is tough. I wonder, what would you have done? What would you do here? What would I do? It would be very easy to justify ourselves, wouldn't it? How often we maybe could be amongst a group of people where maybe you could be sitting in the office at work, you could be in the car with people, and you can be praying for something. You can be talking to the Lord. But yet and withal, there's nobody around you knows what you're doing. Maybe nobody else knows you're praying. You can go to bed at night, you could be praying. Nobody else knows you're doing it. It's been very easy to Daniel, for Daniel to have said, well, for these 30 days, I'll go and I'll wait till I go to bed at night. And I'll lie down and I'll pray to God. You see, the decision here is choosing between what was good and what was best. And Daniel chose what was best. And he did the same as he normally did. He went to his room to pray. This is a key verse because it says that when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened towards Jerusalem. 3 times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to God, just as he had done before. Imagine even giving thanks to God. But here was Daniel. And this, to me, this is a really key verse about Daniel's life. Because in those preceding chapters, when we see how God really used Daniel to interpret dreams, he used them mightily. This tells us a lot. What was it? Well, he spent a lot of time with God. He was a man of prayer. You know that wee chorus we used to sing with Daniel in the Sunday school? He was a man of prayer. He got to know God. You know, friends, that's vital. That's a key of the Christian life when we get to know God. Leonard Ravenhill said, he says, no man is greater than his prayer life. And you know, that's very true. See, the more that we spend time with God, the more we hear his voice. The more we spend time with God, the more we know his leading in our lives. And the more that we spend time with God, the more we can see his hand. I'm sure as a Christian, you've experienced that. I have. But I've also experienced the other side of that. When we allow things in our lives to crowd us, we become too busy. And what's one of those first things that can slip so easily is our time with the Lord. And then you begin not to, you just can't hear that voice as easy or hear it the same. Maybe don't know his leading the same as what you did. Maybe don't wait for his leading. You can't see his hand the same as you did. And this all comes from being in that closeness with God that Daniel had. So Daniel, he committed this all to the Lord. This is a real encouragement, you know, for Friday night for the prayer meeting. To commit all these things to the Lord, even those things in your heart that you wonder, well, you can pray about them, but will they ever be answered? Daniel committed it to the Lord. I want just to pause there and go back to those two verses I read to you at the beginning of the service in Psalm 9. Now listen to this. The Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. Those who know your name will trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. Now, here we have this verse right on the line here. Here we have it right before us. It has to do its thing here. And Daniel committed it all to the Lord. What happened? Well, the group went again to the king, and of course they reminded him, did you not set this decree? Oh yes, King Darius says, yes, the decree stands and it cannot be repealed. Well, they said, Daniel pays no attention. They reported Daniel to the king. And with that then we read that the king was greatly distressed. Because I believe that King Darius, he saw something in Daniel. He knew that this God that Daniel served, there was something about him. I believe that. I believe he had a conviction about that. And I believe here he suddenly realized, oh dear, this is a wrong move. Wrong move. I wonder, has that ever happened to you? I'm sure it has. It certainly happened to me. We say something in the spur of the moment. We do something out of haste. And all of a sudden then it hits you. Wrong move there. And the trouble is that when you say something to somebody, yes, you can say sorry after it. The damage has been done. It can't be taken back. Very often, as with decisions we make in our lives, we've made it. If we had it to do again, we wouldn't do it. But there's no going back. And here, King Darius finds himself in a real predicament. He was greatly distressed. There was nothing he could do. We're told that he made every effort to sundown to try to rescue Daniel, but there's nothing he could do. And so he gave the order. Daniel was thrown into the lion's den. The stone was placed, just try and picture it. The stone was placed over the mouth of the den. He sealed it with a signet ring and the rings of its nobles. It was sealed so it couldn't be changed. And what's the picture? Well, we have this great servant of the Lord who sought to be so faithful to the Lord in all that he did. And he's in the den of lions. And the question is, why, Lord? Why, Lord? And I wonder, is this a question that's in somebody's heart this morning? Why, Lord? Perhaps it's a question that has burned in your heart for years. Lord, why? Why did that happen? Why is this happening? Why did you not let that happen? You know, Daniel sought each day to be faithful to the Lord. And yet here he is staring right into the face of the lions. And perhaps you too have sought to be faithful to the Lord as you have lived out your life. And yet this morning you may be facing something terrifying in your life. Something terrifying. Why, Lord? Friends, you don't need me to tell you that as we go out through those doors today, and as we carry on in the journey of life, there are lions ahead. You know, the warning signs you get maybe in the roads for children crossing or a steep downhill or whatever, those red and white signs, we could put them, I don't think committee would agree, but we could put them above the doors this morning. Warning, there are lions ahead. There are lions ahead in our lives. Those things that frighten us, those things that are too powerful for us to overcome on our own, and those things that can destroy us. But the one thing that Daniel could cling to, and the one thing that we can cling to this morning, is God's sovereignty, the sovereignty of our God. And we see God's sovereignty right firsthand in the middle of this here, because why? At just the correct moment, just when it seemed impossible, it was hopeless, God sent his angel right into the midst of a dire situation. He sent his angel, and his angel closed the mouths of the lions. I tried to imagine what this must have been like, you know, and that night that Daniel spent in the den. I wonder what went on that night. I wonder, was it a case of sitting, very tenderly on edge? Or was it a night of great rejoicing? I don't know, but I'll tell you this. When I get to heaven, I hope maybe Daniel will tell me what that experience was like as the Lord really met him in a mighty, mighty way. But we have to feel a bit for King Darius and all this. Because here he was, he knew this was a major blunder he had made. The man was by himself. He didn't eat. He had no entertainment that night. He couldn't even sleep. And at the first light of day, he hurried to the den. You could almost picture him running to the den. Daniel, has your God, the one whom you serve continually, has he been able to rescue you? And then you hear Daniel's voice coming out. King was overjoyed. Daniel said yes. He came. He says, he shut the mouths of the lions. They haven't hurt me. There wasn't even a wound found on him. Why? Because God was sovereign and he knew all about Daniel. It wouldn't be very easy for Daniel to, I'm sure if it was me, you'd get out of the den and think, have I ever got my hands on Darius? But no. His reply, it was so gracious. It was so lovely, his reply to Darius. And Darius, he was overjoyed. But I believe that with this, we can see something of that why, Lord, question being answered. Why, Lord, why did this happen? Well, you see, the Lord used Daniel in a very powerful way. He used Daniel's experience of the lion to reveal himself, to reveal his power to Darius. We see that very clearly. And then in turn, at the end of the chapter, we read then that Darius, in his position of authority, was able then to issue that decree right out to everybody in his whole kingdom that this God must be feared. This God of Daniel must be reverenced. God had his plan. And you know, I'm sure that Daniel didn't think that his lion's experience would be the subject of so many sermons. I'm sure he didn't think that it would ever be the means of so much encouragement, of so much inspiration to so many people throughout the years. But God did. And right from that time when God took them in exile, he knew his plan all along. And perhaps, my dear friend, you often wrestle with that why question. Why, Lord? Well, I want to encourage you this morning because you just never, ever know how God may have or will use you as you have faced or as you face those lions of life to be that source of encouragement to others. Maybe to draw alongside somebody who's facing that same lion as you have faced. And perhaps God will use you to reveal himself, to reveal his power through you and your situation to others. Let me give you a personal illustration. There was a man, I know him quite well, and a dear brother, and he has certainly faced plenty of lions in his life. Fairly recently, he buried his teenage daughter through illness. And you know, Harry has been a wonderful inspiration. Anytime I'm talking to him, you know, there's always such a joy in his heart. And I can remember talking to that man, and I knew that man was heartbroken. I knew he was heartbroken. But I'll tell you what, God revealed himself through that man to me. I could see God in that man's life, and I'll tell you, my heart was warmed. I was so encouraged. And Harry, he said these words to me the other day. He says, you know, Richard, he said, it's not what lies ahead that's important, but it's how we deal with it. And I tell you, God has taught me, he has shown himself through Harry to me. There are lions to face in this old journey of life, friends. And as Christians, we will have to face them. As we begin another winter's work here in Trinity, there will be lions to face of one sort or another. But I trust that we'll be encouraged by this morning and encouraged by our God, encouraged that in all matters of our lives, our God is sovereign. I trust that we would be like what Philip Bliss said the words, that we would dare to be like Daniel. We would dare to stand alone. We would dare to have a purpose firm. And we would dare to make it known. Even as we thought in our prayers of the laws and all that's going on in our world today, we need to be men and women like Daniel. You know, just as a close, very quickly, friends, there's a very poignant illustration in this passage, and it would be amiss of me not to bring it to your attention. You know, we can rejoice with Daniel. We can rejoice about Daniel being saved from the lion's den. But I wonder, did you notice that we couldn't say the same about others in the passage? Because those who went against Daniel, those who turned against his God, what happened to them? Well, it says that they were thrown into the den of lions. And it tells us that before they even hit the floor, every bone was crushed. Do you know, friends, that really touched my heart. You know, Daniel's situation was humanly impossible, but God intervened. And it reminded me of myself before I was a Christian. Because I remember having that feeling of you were in like a den and there was no way out. And it's an awful feeling when you realize that, that in and of yourself, in and of Christian parents, Christian family, Christian friends, there's none of them can do anything to help you. Peter talks about our adversary, the devil, and he describes him as like a roaring lion, and he's looking for someone to devour. And the reality is, friends, unless we get away from him, he will devour us. We will be crushed because of our sin. I wonder, have you asked God to intervene in your life? God wonderfully intervened in Daniel's life. He has wonderfully intervened into my life. And I tell you, I don't deserve it one bit at all. Not one bit. But I asked him and he came and he intervened and he rescued me. And I'm eternally grateful for that. I wonder, could this be just the right time when God would intervene for you? I wonder, is this the right time where you need to call upon the Lord and ask him to save you? I trust you will, and I trust you'll know the joy of the Lord's deliverance in your life and as you journey on with him. Let's bow in prayer. Father, when we come to your word, Lord, we read about you and who you are, Lord, how sovereign you are and the things that you have done, the things that you are doing, and the things that you continue to do and will do in the future, Lord. We just feel so inadequate to even open our mouths to speak about them. Lord, we just feel so inadequate to even open our mouths to speak about this passage today, to speak about you and this amazing deliverance of Daniel. And oh Lord, we thank you for what you have done in so many of our lives this morning. How so many of us can come to you and we can rejoice in you, having known you sending your son Jesus down into our den, down into our life of sin, of misery, into that condition where there was absolutely no hope for us. We were facing destruction. And yet you sent Jesus to rescue us, to save us. Father, I want to thank you afresh this morning. Thank you again for Jesus. Thank you for rescuing us and for saving us from our sin. And Father, I pray for every soul in this place who maybe as yet hasn't experienced this, that even just now in these moments, Father, that you would stir their heart. We realize that none of us could even have an anxious thought. Nobody can come to you, Lord, unless you draw us. Oh, Lord, would you come? Would you stir hearts just now? Would you draw lost souls to yourself? May we hear of mighty deliverances for your glory and for your honor. We pray it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.